Welcome back to VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings right here on MSG Plus. Thank you to all for joining us tonight. We look forward to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the LA Rams set to kick off in about 20 minutes from now. Matt, what is the current preflop?
We're still sitting at 4 and 47.5. So we did see some movement when we first got here. The only thing that has gone away is that juice on the +4 for the Rams. So it is 110 on both sides right now. Tampa Bay Bucks favored by 4, 47.5 your total. If you want the money line, if you think the Rams win this thing outright, +180.
All right. We're both on the Bucks here, -4, which is a good place to be for reasons stated earlier. Maybe we should reiterate some of those. And a lot of it has to do with Jared Goff being pressured.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on Bucks -4. I'm also on the under 49. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I have a lot of respect for both of these defenses. I think this could be more of a defensive battle than I think a lot of people are giving it credit for. And I also think it might be a little bit more run heavy than a lot of people are going to give this game credit for. I'm on some unders on the passing yardage as well. Now, those numbers are not available anymore that you see on the screen. Brady is still at 285, which I do still have a lean towards the under on that one. The Goff is now off 17 yards, and so it's all the way down to like 262 now, so I can't really get there. It's really close to kind of where I have him projected anyway. But Gil, at the end of the day, it's a night and day with Jared Goff when it comes to teams that can get pressure on him. This is one of the best pass rushes in the league. Actually, if you go by Pro Football Focus's rankings, it is actually the number 4th rated pass rush in all of the NFL that the Bucs possess. Their coverage grade, number 4. Pass defense, DVOA, number 1. So when you kind of look at how this could play out, we've seen time and time again with Jared Goff, his passer rating, his completion percentage, his on-target percentage, all these things plummet when he is under pressure. It worked out perfectly. It's set up perfectly for Seattle. Team that does not get a lot of pressure has a bad secondary. We have a very good secondary with this Bucs team and a team that is going to get a lot of pressure on him. So it's a complete reversal of the reason we liked them last week. It's the reason I don't like them this week in this game against the Bucs. And so, unless there's some very weird kind of, this could be one of those things where they've schemed this where he's hitting the backside of the backfield a ton, or he's just like dinking off to the tight ends and things. Like, maybe they change it up how they play, but it's going to be, I think it could be a tough night for Jared Goff tonight.
Jared Goff again, under pressure this year, 36.8 passer rating, dead last in the National Football League when a clean pocket, 11 touchdowns, 2 picks, and a 113.5 passer rating, scored out of 158.3. That's top 10 in the National Football League. One thing we haven't talked about, and again, just looking for every little bit of angle that we can hear prior to kickoff, a lot of people make a lot of deal out of West Coast teams traveling to the East Coast. Now, they primarily do it when it's an early game. And so the sort of connotation, not the connotation, but what people mean by that is, hey, it's early on the body clock for West Coast people if they're playing a 10 a.m., what would be a 10 a.m. West Coast game, which in fact 1 p.m. on the East Coast. So I just want to throw this out, because people love to quote the stat about West Coast teams coming to play on the East Coast. And even though this is a night game, it's worth saying this is not actually a thing. That if you go back in databases all the way, almost 2 decades in the past, and you look to see what's actually the record of these teams that come from the West Coast to play in the Eastern time zone, it's 118 and 112. 118, 112, and 7 since the year 2003. For some databases. So it is not a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not a thing on a night game like this for those who are wanting to know if it is.
And it's kind of the same thing that we've talked about with home field advantage as well. Like these things have basically eroded over time, right? Because what we've seen is as the luxuries of these players increases, that these things, like back in the day, you rode, sometimes they rode on buses, sometimes they rode on rickety planes and like whatever, and you stayed in like motels, and that's not the case anymore. There's multi-billion dollar operations where they're flying private or chartered jets, they're bringing nutritionists, and they're bringing, all the medical staff, they're doing all that. I mean, it's just different, yeah. Right? I mean, and so they know how to treat travel now, where in the past
they didn't. Stay on that coast, yeah. It's a whole different thing. they're hip to the travel implications of that kind of thing.
It's almost as if it's big business skill.
It's almost, it's you know? As if they figured out. By the way, and again, you and I hate trends, but Sean McVay himself and the Rams, they do very well on the East Coast too. They're like 8-3, I think, in Sean McVay's tenure. So not a thing. If you're basing a bet on that, our suggestion would be, well, base it on something else. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. We're still missing Danielle. She'll be back here shortly, right here on VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings on MSG+. Talking about the Rams and the Bucks. A couple games that we haven't touched on from yesterday, because we got to most of them here in the first hour, but there's a couple more that I wanted to discuss. One of which was, and this is the one that I alluded to, a lot of Survivor players went down on the Vikings yesterday. The Cowboys beat the Vikings outright, 7-point dogs, 31-28. And I said it multiple times last week, something about the Vikings I just don't trust. Now, I didn't bet on the Cowboys, so I didn't back it up with money, but I'm glad I certainly didn't go to the house in Survivor on the Vikings.
Yeah, this was another reason to for a bad Sunday, as I went in on the Vikings in game a couple of different times when they were down 16-7 at halftime. You're getting plus money on them to come back. They were kind of they were kind of clunky in the first half, but listen, Cousins wasn't really all that bad. So I just assumed like, hey, they're going to come back and beat this inferior team, you know? And so I got in a couple of different times on the money line. That didn't play out.
In fact, Matt, if I may interrupt, if you look at the Vikings box score, Cousins, 22 of 30 for 314, three touchdowns, no picks. Cook, 27 for 115 and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Thielen, who, by the way, just tested positive for COVID, or at least just came out, 8 for 123, two touchdowns. Jefferson from
LSU,
3 for 86 and a touchdown. Their box score looks unbelievable.
It does.
And still they lost.
And still they lost. And you kind of like start to, like, how in the world did they lose this game? You know, and it really just came down to the Cowboys actually played a fairly good game for the first time this season, or at least since like week one, you know, week one, week two. They kind of put a whole game together. Now, Andy Dalton wasn't anything special, but he didn't do anything to lose them the game,
right?
You know, which is like kind of all you can ask for, I think, at Andy Dalton at this point in his career. But, you know, we were talking about, they have all these playmakers on the Cowboys, and it was just mind-boggling to us that they couldn't get offensive production. At least if you're going to lose a game, you might lose a game. You know, they score 31 points. Would it be crazy if we look up and they lost 44-31 or something?
No.
You know, like, no, because like the defense had been so bad. But how they were not putting up points was what was crazy. Here goes Zeke. No, 21 for 103. Amari Cooper shows up for 6 for 81. CeeDee Lamb gets that amazing touchdown catch that he had twisting his body in the weirdest
catch,
like Matrix direction thing that you've ever seen.
So great.
Before. I mean, so, you know, they finally got some decent offensive production here, and with that, you know, they squeak out a game that was kind of a coin flippy type game. It just went on the wrong side for me, unfortunately, at plus money after getting in at halftime.
I think both of these teams, these are tough teams at this point in the season to get a firm grasp on when it comes, I think, at least to gambling with them, just because neither one of them are good teams. We know that, but they still have so much talent that I think, like the Cowboys yesterday, you're able to look good in spurts like that because you've got a bunch of talented football players still. So it's kind of what I read into that game, and it was one I stayed far away from, kind of for those reasons. Like that was, if anything, I would have leaned Vikings, but I wasn't going to lay 7 points with them, and completely understand your in-game thinking, but it's that's kind of my feel on both those teams right now. Is like, I wouldn't be surprised any week if they show up.
Two huge turnovers by the Vikings too. That really was kind of like the Dalvin Cook fumble. They were driving the ball right down the field. They were in plus territory, and he fumbled, and Kirk Cousins lost a fumble as well. And that's really all it takes in a game like this. When you're kind of neck and neck, you lose 2-0 on the turnover battle. It's going to not go your way very often.
Like we said, if we had access to the post game box score, we'd be able to pick all these games just on turnovers alone. The Packers, I mean, think about it. 4 turnovers yesterday, 2 of which were massive. The second of which was their second play in overtime that gave the ball back to the Colts already in field goal position. And of course, earlier in that game, when the Colts did erase the 2-touchdown lead, the ensuing kickoff fumbled the kickoff return, gave the Colts the ball back in plus territory again. So turnovers, goes without saying, just so, you know, the one stat that if you had access to the box score afterwards, you could pretty much tell who won and lost the game almost 9 out of 10 times. The other game that we hadn't really gotten to, Miami and Denver. This was a very popular pick. The Dolphins were for a lot of people. 5-game winning streak for the Dolphins headed into this. People couldn't have been more down on the Broncos. Funny things happen in Denver over time if you watch enough football. And Drew Lock didn't do a whole bunch. A lot of his 270 yards, a good chunk of them, came on a final play where he just sort of heaved the ball downfield. So his stats really don't reflect his level of play in this game necessarily. But he didn't really do anything horrific. The question becomes with Tua. Now, Tua ends up 11 for 20 for 83 yards and a touchdown, but he was sacked 6 times. And Brian Flores in the fourth quarter took him out of that game. Now, you were wondering at the time, you're like, okay, he walked gingerly to the sideline after his final sack. Bradley Chubb was the guy who sacked him. His left leg, Tua's left leg, was bent awkwardly. So you're like, oh, is he leaving because of that? Did he get hurt on that play? Brian Flores went out of his way to say, no, I just took him out because I wanted to. And Ryan Fitzpatrick came into that game. He finished 12 of 18 for 117 yards, did throw the final pick of the game that sealed the deal. And that gave the Justin Simmons, by the way, picking that pass off with 63 seconds left, sealing the Broncos' win. Tua will be the starter next week, though. Mm-hmm. Brian Flores has said that as well. What do you make of Tua at this point? Because every game has been defensive aided for the Dolphins.
Yeah, when we were breaking this game down, I mean, I was fairly high on the Dolphins coming into this game. But the question that we threw out was, were we going to see the same success with this team if they were not aided by short fields, if they were not aided by defensive scores, if they were not aided by special teams scores as well? And that didn't play out for them right here. And this is, and I think we saw what this team is kind of made of, right? I mean, it is a team where if you look at the playmakers on this team, like losing Preston Williams, I think kind of went under the radar, but you know, now it's just Devontae Parker. And outside of that, there's not really anybody you can consistently rely on on the receiving side of things. I mean, your number two is arguably your tight end in Gesicki, who really is not lived up to all the hype that everybody has thrown upon him. And so Preston Williams goes on IR, and it really kind of shakes things up from what this team does from an offensive side of things. And I think what we saw from Tua is he's got a lot of growing to do, you know? And if I'm the Dolphins, if I'm still sitting at 6-4, and if I'm...
You're one back in the AFC.
Yeah, like I'm still wanting to get in the playoffs. Your better option today might be Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, I think we knew that. I mean, listen, as a guy who holds Dolphins season win total overs and a guy who has a plus 1150 to win the division, you know, betting is the truth serum. I've said it 1,000 times. At that moment, you can't fool me. I'm like, no, I want Ryan, for me to cash my division win bet, I want Ryan Fitzpatrick to be the quarterback. That's not any knock on Tua down the road, but at, like you said it, at this moment, give me Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has always been more than serviceable.
And it's a difference in situations, right? So we're talking about, you guys, what are you talking about? You heap all this praise on Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. Well, we saw what the alternative for the Bengals was yesterday.
Yeah,
it's not any better, and it's a very huge, huge drop-off. Herbert had to play because of a medical error, and so he came in, and then with that just proved that he probably should have been the guy from the start anyway.
And they're
right?
also not in contention.
Right.
So it doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so, right, exactly. If their records were flipped, then we would say, yeah, go with Tua. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't really matter. But you're in a position to make the playoffs here, and if you really want to do that, I think that Fitzpatrick is certainly your better option. And with that, we should say, I mean, listen, the 7-point loss, that was a pick in the end zone. I mean, they were there to tie this game.
Yeah.
And by the way, which would have been a touchdown had Simmons not come and flown over and basically read Fitzpatrick's eye. I mean, he had Devontae Parker on an inside route there. And it was right on. It would have been a touchdown, but who knows what would have happened in overtime. But it's going to be, I know you made the decision to go with Tua and you don't want to look like, oh, we can't give up on this kid. We don't want to hurt his ego. But I think Tua's, from what I've seen of this kid, he seems pretty with it, right? Like if you went to him and said, like, oh, hey, man, look, we're 6-4.
Yeah.
We're trying to make the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Like, we're just going to roll with Fitz. He'd probably be like, I get it.
Yeah, I also think that's like a reason. I was on the Dolphins yesterday. That was a loss for me. I was kind of confused by the decision, but I also think exactly what you just said is a reason why they made the decision in the game. I think if it was other quarterbacks, other rookie quarterbacks, you couldn't say we're going to take him out of a game that he could totally lead us back to lead us back in and win for us. I think it's because he's so mature that they were able to yank him and put Ryan Fitzpatrick in there because he recognizes how important this singular game is. I just hope they understand that. I don't think you can't do that all season. I mean, for the rest of the season here, I don't think you can't say it's Tua's job and then keep pulling him every time he struggles. I'm with you guys. I think Fitzpatrick might be your best choice, but if you want to do that, you got to go with that and stick with it.
So as we go to kickoff here, guys, it does go off at 4:47.5. Bucks favored by 4:47.5 on the total as kickoff comes right now.
Dolphins, as is, tied for the third and final playoff spot in the AFC. Obviously, we have six games to go, but tied with the Ravens and the Raiders at 6-4 for the third and final playoff spot in the AFC. And the Dolphins also one game behind the Bills in the AFC East.
Something to remember as you're betting this game, Rams won the toss but deferred, so the Bucks will start with the ball first. Rams will be getting it as we start the second half.
What are we looking for in game here, everybody?
Oh, I'd like a quick score to go under.
Quick score, and then you would go under.
I would kind of play on my pregame conviction here that this is probably going to be a little bit lower scoring. But with the Bucs hitting the ball first, I don't think that's likely to be the case.
Yeah, so. Bucs will start at 1st and 10 at their own 25. By the way, real rapid fire. The only game we didn't mention, Pittsburgh and Jacksonville, I've never seen Big Ben throw better passes than I did yesterday. Mm-hmm. Some of his passes were unbelievable for the 10-0 Steelers, who I think, as long as the Chiefs push him, may be in play for 16-0 after all.
I'll tell you this, this is where I talk about some of these fantasy guys are like, you know, super, super sharp and stuff, and like didn't come out of nowhere to those guys, but I think came out of nowhere to a lot of people. Deontay Johnson, now you have Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and Juju Smith-Schuster has almost become the number three guy there.
When
Juju Smith-Schuster is your number three receiver and you can get by on him being your number three receiver, you got a pretty good offense going. And Eric Ebron he's going to drop a pass here and there, but that's a pretty good weapon at tight end to go along with the duo that you've got in Snell and Connor at running back. I mean, this team is complete top to bottom.
Yes, they are. Deontay Johnson yesterday, 12 catches for 111. As Big Ben's biggest or most prominent receiver yesterday. But Big Ben, I watched a lot of that game against Jacksonville, and there were some third down, forget the touchdowns, which were obvious, but some of the third down conversions, he put the ball the only place they could be placed. I was super impressed with Big Ben. I do think that Mike Tomlin will be the biggest beneficiary with an award as far as awards go. I don't think Big Ben's going to overcome Mahomes for MVP, but I do think Mike Tomlin would win Coach of the Year at that point.
Not after that effort yesterday from Mahomes.
No.
Yeah, I mean, one game that wasn't yesterday, but it was Thursday, and we were in here in the studio, if you were watching along with us, was, you know, that Cardinals game, and we kept saying it looked like something was wrong.
Yes, bring this up.
With
yes.
Kyler Murray. And we kept speculating. It just looked like something's wrong with him. And here's Cliff Kingsbury today. He's asked about Kyler Murray, talking about his injured right shoulder. He's working through it. We'll see how he feels tomorrow when we get on the grass and see where we're at practice-wise and if we need to make any adjustments.
There it is.
We were guessing.
Yeah.
It looked like it. We're not doctors. We've never played football before, but it sure looked like a dude who had been pretty accurate on the season and who had obviously had been, you know, we were talking about it, you know, was one of the best rushers, quarterback, running back, or otherwise, in the entire league, was hesitant to run the ball. There was all kinds of things that were pointing to the fact that it looked like he was injured, and finally we have some confirmation.
That's why we didn't make it in-game bet that night. By the way, first two plays of the game here for the Bucs, Ronald Jones Jr. ran into a brick wall at the line of scrimmage, and then on second down, Brady to Antonio Brown for 7. So this is the first, or call it 6, this is the first third down of the game, 3rd and 4 for the Bucs at their own 31. Brady in shotgun, empty backfield, quick pass over the middle, and oh my goodness. I thought that was picked.
Optical illusion.
Wow. That ball disappeared and then
Antonio
reappeared.
Brown with the 6-yard catch, that'll move the chains. I thought Brady threw a pick right there. Total optical illusion on the television screen. But from behind, that's why it was an optical illusion. Just got it past the defender into Antonio. Nice catch by Brown, by the way. But Micah Kizer should have almost came up with that interception. First and 10 now for the Bucs. They'll try to establish the run again, and Ronald Jones picks up 2 yards into that Rams front seven.
Moved a half point already, 4.5 in favor of the Bucs, and your total does tick up a half point as well to 48.
Heck of a catch from Antonio Brown there in the early going.
It really was.
And Micah Kizer just an inch away from picking that off. 15 targets already on the season for, or this was last week. No, both weeks. 15 targets, 12 catches on the season for Antonio Brown. 2nd and 8 now for the Bucs. Again, in their own territory at their own 40-yard line. Early going of what should be a good game tonight. They'll try to run it again, and just another yard for Ronald Jones off right tackle. Sets up a 3rd and long now, 3rd and 7, as the Bucs appear to want to say, we are going to run the ball tonight, Rams defense. Stop us. And so far, the Rams on 3 carries have only given up 3 yards.
Yeah, 3 for 3 for Jones. And this is kind of how they went about this game last week as well, the Bucs. They started Jones, then went Fournette. It was almost like this kind of like planned rotation with them. But 3 early carries, as you mentioned, no good.
As we go to break here, 3rd and 7 for the Bucs at their own 41. Brady with time. That is not going to get to Mike Evans, and Jalen Ramsey lets everybody know about it. He is on that island, it appears, with Mike Evans here in the early going. So not a 3 and out, but a 6 and out. And the Bucs will have to punt it away. You like that for your under?
Hey, good for the under.
And you don't necessarily hate it for your -4, which I'm on as well. By the way, that pass had no shot. Threw it right in the dirt. Even if Mike Evans had caught that, not sure that he would have had first down yardage, because Jalen Ramsey was right there as well. We go to break, early going, Rams and Bucs. It's VSiN's primetime action. Looking for in-game bets right here on MSG Plus. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. One large. It's easy. Sign up with promo code VSiN to claim your exclusive offer. Plus, if you think you qualify to join the DraftKings VIP program, enjoy exclusive benefits, promotional offers, top-tier customer support, and personalized contests, visit DraftKings.com/VSiN to learn more. Got to be 21, though. New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 3rd and 1 for the Rams. Third play of their opening drive, which started as a touchback and a 1st and 10 at their own 20. Fake handoff, rolls to the left, does Goff, and he hits a receiver for a 1st down. A little 6-yard pickup for the Rams, and they will move the chains. They get themselves a 1st down catch right there made by Gerald Everett. So 1st and 10 for the Rams. 10 minutes left in the first quarter. We are scoreless. In game.
I will take the I'll take these slow drives going on here. Sitting in game right now at 3. If you want to take the Rams at +3, little tiny bit of a juice, -115.
Gotta love what you've seen in the early going for your under. Goff under center now, 1st and 10 for the Rams at their own 35. And again, for those just tuning in, they're like, what are these guys just talking about the game that we're watching on another network? No, we're looking for in-game betting opportunities. We have our pre-flop bets. We're watching this through the prism of those and searching for opportunities to make Monday. Rams with a 1st down run there that only goes for 2 yards, and it'll be 2nd and 8. Carry by Darrell Henderson there on 1st down. Remember, the Bucs defense, #1 in overall DVOA. That's Football Outsiders' proprietary stat. The Rams' rushing defense specifically is #1 in DVOA, but the Bucs' overall defense is the best in football based on the granular play-by-play stats that they do over at Football Outsiders. This is Goff on 2nd and 8 in shotgun. Looks to the right, then goes to the middle, yeah. Got a man, Cooper Kupp.
I'm going to regret not doing that one.
The Cooper Kupp one?
Yeah.
I'm gonna I think they're going to give him the 1st down.
Of course,
because the epidemic, as we talked about last week in both college and pro football, is, you're close enough. We'll just give you the 1st down.
It's so early in the game. Let's just keep it moving.
College, of course, they do it on final drives, which drives you mad. I'm sure if they did a replay there, he'd probably be a little shy. but they're certainly not going to challenge it because it'll be third and short anyway. So it's first and 10 at their own 45 now for the Rams. And Goff goes into shotgun, and he's going to throw it again over the middle. Little five-yard pickup to Cooper Kupp as Matt is overcome with regret.
If you're wondering what we're talking about, it was set on the break. I was like, you know, if they're going to have success, they're just going to dink and dunk down the field to Cooper Kupp and the tight ends. So far, it's three to Cooper Kupp and one to Gerald Everett, Cooper Kupp and a tight end. So should have played the instinct there, seems like.
Well, what was the game this year? Cooper Kupp had one game this year where he had 20 targets. Do you remember that game?
Yeah.
Well, we're on our way to that here. First and 10 midfield now second and five, rather, midfield for the Rams. Oh, little handoff to the tight end. Little trickeration that nets them 1 yard, maybe two. No, let's call it 1 yard.
If you had a Higby carry on the night, catch that ticket, like the over 0.5.
Yeah, a big plus money right there. That was the Miami Dolphins game, Gil, at Miami, where he had 20 targets, end of the day with 11 catches for 110 yards.
Yeah, 20 targets. That was back in early November, November 1st, in a loss to the Dolphins, people may recall, 28-17. Here it is, third and four now, just on the other side of midfield for the Rams. 7 minutes left in the first quarter, scoreless to this point, and it's Goff in shotgun. Has some time. Cooper got a man. His name is Cooper Kupp, and that's his third target and third catch. And Cooper Kupp breaks a tackle, or at least makes a move on a would-be tackler, and gets it all the way down to the 12. Wow. Shoddy defense right there by the Bucks after the catch, as Kupp finds the spot in the middle of the field. Good, by the way, beautiful anticipation by Goff there on the route. And Kupp does break a couple tackles. It's like two Bucks defenders knocked each other off of Kupp. And what turns into a middling gain becomes a big gainer for the Rams, and it's first and 10 now at the 12-yard line of the Bucks.
Cooper Kupp's receiving prop was 59.5. He has 55 yards on this first drive.
Oh, man. So
that would be a bad beat if you're holding a Cooper Kupp over right now.
Mike Edwards and Antoine Winfield Jr. knocked each other off of Kupp. There's a little, I want to say that was a jet sweep, but either way, that doesn't go for much. This time, Goff and the Rams give it to Robert Woods, and it's only a 1 or 2 yard gain. And then back comes Cooper Kupp with 6 minutes left in the first quarter. Rams will have a 2nd and 8 at about the 10-yard line. We got to go to break, though. We'll see what happens here. It's VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings. College Hoops Betting Guide is out today, and now's the perfect time to become a VSiN subscriber. Get the massive in-depth guide to all the teams, conferences, and impact players for this unique college basketball season. It has predictions, insights, stats, and research from all our VSiN basketball experts, and you'll want to dive in before the first games tip off this week, and they tip off on Wednesday. Whole bunch of college hoops games on Wednesday. Get the Hoops Betting Guide, plus everything VSiN has to offer every day of the basketball season and all year round at a 25% savings right now. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. And the Rams are on the scoreboard first, aided by a 3rd and 2 offsides penalty, half the distance to the goal line, which gave him an automatic first and goal at the 2 from Devin White. From?
He's from LSU as well, though. That's I don't want to claim him on that one. I don't want to claim him.
And then on a 3rd and goal, after they had been pushed back a couple yards, it was Goff to Woods, touchdown Rams, 7-0.
Yeah, they got him to 3rd down yet again. Actually, got some pressure on him, but Goff did well. He stepped up. He stepped up in the pocket, created a little bit of time. It was not his first read, and they just kind of forgot about Woods in the back of the end zone. And with that, yeah, like you mentioned, and Cooper Kupp. 5 receptions for 62 yards on the opening drive the game. If you're holding Cooper Kupp tickets, you already won all night long. So good for you. You're already in the money.
Cooper Kupp on pace for more than 25 catches.
Right. 240 yeah. yards, 25 catches. Yeah, it's going to be nuts. This was, you know, listen, this was kind of the game plan if they were going to be able to move the ball. And to Sean McVay's credit, they adjusted and did what they have to do. They went after the slot. Listen, the outside corners for the Bucs have been elite all year long. He didn't even target any of the outside receivers the entire drive all the way down the field. It was Cooper Kupp and tight ends the whole way. And again, Woods wasn't even the intended receiver on that play. He just happened to get left behind in the back of the end zone right there. And so great game plan to start things out. Again, we've seen this time and time again, Gil. Lots of these teams script these first drives and come out looking like amazing, and then things can kind of go away from there. So we'll see if the Rams have, you know, an entire scheme drawn up to keep this over them in the middle of the field. You know, the outside corners for the Bucs pretty much, you know, I'm not going to say lockdown, but pretty close to it. And coming out after Kupp was really great. And it just, the troll job of me saying, man, I really should have played that Kupp prop. And then first play, Kupp.
Well, here's the question. Down 7-0 now, the Buccaneers at DraftKings, +1/-112, or if you prefer, the money line at -104. Totals at 46.5. So right about where it was moments ago, even before the touchdown, because that drive took so long. But any interest on the Bucs in game, Kelly?
I just got went in on the under. I went under 47 live, under 47.
I went in on the Bucs +112 money line.
Okay.
Bucs +112 money line as the Rams kick it off. 3:55 left in the first quarter. As we mentioned, Rams 7-0 on that Goff to Woods short touchdown pass. As Tom Brady takes over for the Bucs second time this evening. By the way, the Raiders and the Raiders and the Chiefs last night was kind of like that. Was it the Vikings Packers game earlier this year where they just had a minimum of drives? The Vikings Packers game earlier this year, they had four total drives in the first half. Each team had two. And then I think the Vikings had one long one to start the third quarter. Last night, the Raiders and the Chiefs was kind of like that. This, that Rams drive was sort of reminiscent of that. And the Rams would take those kinds of drives all night long if they could.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the other thing I think to point out here, if you're holding an under ticket and maybe you're, you know, if you want to feel a little bit better about it, or if you're holding a Bucs ticket, you want to feel a little bit better about it. That's like the fifth opening drive touchdown of the season for the Rams. Like, Sean McVay is awesome at scripting these opening drives. And if you followed the Rams offense past that, you know, I mean, they haven't really lit up the scoreboard this year. You know, I mean, 20 points against the Cowboys, 17 points against the Giants, 16 points against the Niners, 24 points against the Bears, 17 points against the Dolphins, and 23 points against the Seahawks. So, you know, they're really good at marching the ball down the field early in the game. And then, you know, once the game gets going, things a little bit different. So just, it's not over yet. Basically, don't feel like it's all doomed.
And that was part of the reason I went in on under live. Gil, I'm guessing you two on Bucs. It was that first drive looked very scripted, and it looked like it worked very well. I think the Bucs defense is talented enough to adjust here.
First down play was an incomplete pass. Brady a little high to Ronald Jones and then low to Gronk. And Michael Brockers just pummeled Brady into the turf. So this is third and long. Brady under pressure, but he's got a man, and
I was going to say, it looks like he got help.
Mike Evans gets induces the flag. That ball landed harmlessly between three Rams, but Mike Evans draws the flag. So a PI coming up, and Jalen Ramsey, no surprise to anybody, can't believe that it was called on him. But in fact, it was Jerome Boger on the call.
I will say this, it could be a long night for this Bucs offense if this pressure keeps up from the Rams. I mean, they have been getting to Brady. Yes, that was obvious.
Well, Ramsey, you know, it is obvious, but on the other hand, what is Ramsey supposed to do if Evans runs into him right there? I don't know about that, and I've got the Bucs in a bet. So to me, that was kind of ticky-tack. Quick pass this time to Godwin, and that's going to be a short gainer for the Bucs, and it'll be second and five. So that was the play the Bucs needed. Help by the officiating team right there with a flag that Jalen Ramsey was not happy with. And even as a Bucs bettor here, that felt like a bailout more than anything to me.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's ticky-tack, but they've just been calling that all year. Like, I mean, that's like one of those things where I would like to see it out of the game, but like, they've been calling that all year. Like, but it's,
if Mike Evans runs full speed into you, what is, you know, it's sort of your instinct to like not let him go by. Ronald Jones on a pitch out here gets 2 yards, so it's going to be 3rd and 2. The Bucs facing yet another third down situation in the early going of this game. 2:45 left in the first quarter.
When we kind of take a look at how this is going to break down, I mean, it seems like both teams are trying to run to no avail here. I wonder if we do see them make an adjustment and basically abandon this. I mean, Ronald Jones, 4 carries for 5 yards so far in this game.
Yeah. Brady shotgun, 3rd and 2, got a man, got a catch. Godwin first down, just shy of the Rams 40. And so they'll move the chains right there as Brady, as we talked about, spreading the ball around the field. And boy, that flag has sort of changed the tenor of this here in the early going. And now it feels like the Bucs have woken up in this ball game. Much to be played.
Back to point-and-a-half favorites.
They were as low as 3-point dogs on that initial third down of this drive. Brady just 4 of 7 for 26 here in the early going as well. Bucs matriculating. We'll come back. We'll talk about AFC odds next right here on VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings on MSG+. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers get a deposit bonus up to, once again,
$1,000.
That's right. Exactly right. It's easy. Sign up with promo code VSiN to claim your exclusive offer. Plus, think you qualify to join the DraftKings VIP program. Enjoy exclusive benefits, promotional offers, top-tier customer support, and personalized contests. Just visit DraftKings.com/VSiN to learn more. Got to be 21. It is only in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, as always, if you want help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. Rams up on the Bucs, but the Bucs now have a 1st and 10 inside the red zone after Brady hit Gronk. How are you feeling about your bets right now?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about everything. I mean, it's not ideal that they're probably going to score. I mean, some points here for sure, but from the under standpoint. But again, you know, listen, I have a bet on the Bucs as well, so yeah. I'll take the points and hope that the defense can kick in. I'll take Bucs, as much as they'll give
it. Yeah, I'm Bucs two ways now, pre-flop and in-game as well, so I'm obviously rooting for the touchdown. I'm very one note here in this game. I'm all about the Bucs. But again, I'll say it again, and I don't want to belabor the point, but that flag being thrown was kind of everything here. That flag doesn't get thrown, maybe this game goes entirely different. 1st and 10 at the, it's the 2nd and 5 rather at the 13, because we had a first down run from Ronald Jones, little out pass to Mike Evans, and just gets wrecked by Jalen Ramsey and company.
Letting him know about it.
Yeah. That was me, Mike Evans. Jalen Ramsey, in case you didn't get the license plate. It's going to be 3rd and 2. Evans ends up 2 yards shy of a first down that it looked like he was going to get to fairly easily. Wow.
And not Ramsey, great for the old under 4.5 catches when they give him when they give him those.
Ramsey went low on Evans and pile-drived him. 14:30 left in the second. Second quarter just underway. Let's call it 3rd and 1. They gave him a little bit of forward progress there. Brady in shotgun on the 3rd and 1. Ronald Jones set to his left, and based on a tell that you gave us before the break, that's a pass, and it is a pass, and that's a first down as Brady hits Evans. Easy, lots of room, and Evans fights to get in the end zone.
Oh, get in!
Oh, my goodness.
Awesome.
Mike Evans took that message from Jalen Ramsey on the previous play and said, I'll show you. It wasn't Jalen Ramsey that he fought off there, though.
Do we not see this so many times? Like, the corners talk smack to the receiver only for the receiver to get motivated and do something like that.
And Mike Evans is not a guy who's going to necessarily back.
He took.
It wasn't Jalen.
He took Godwin that one.
Yeah, Jalen took Godwin and Mike Evans, and Brady noticed it, and he goes to the other side of the field, and Evans just carries carries the corner into the end zone on that play. By the way, that that would be Darius Williams, who I spoke of earlier, who was no match for Evans in the open field there.
Defense in the NFL these days, too. We're just going for the ball. We're going for the ball. Like, who cares about tackling him?
How interesting is that? They thought that Godwin was a bigger red zone threat than Evans right there and decided to switch it up.
Well, that might be corrected after that drive.
Here's the thing, though. With the Bucs, you're really picking your poison.
Right, exactly.
What are you going to do?
If it wouldn't have been, Antonio Brown. That's right. Yeah. Or Gronk. Yeah.
Or Gronk.
Yeah.
7-6, pending the extra point. 14-10 left in the second quarter. The snap, the hold, the kick, and it is good. 7-7 now. In what we thought would be a good game, and so far is a good game.
Three on the live line in favor of the Bucks. 49.5 your live total. -159 on the Bucks. So you're in at plus money, plus 125 on the Rams.
I like it. I like it a lot. While we have a break here in the action, let's talk about the AFC odds here to win the AFC. And the reason I go there is because obviously last night, Chiefs get by the Raiders. Took 75 seconds for Patrick Mahomes and the Raiders to matriculate the ball down the field and beat the Raiders. One of those things where the Raiders tried to milk as much time off the clock in the previous drive, but then, you know, you can't really plan when you get in the end zone. And probably left a little too much time for a guy like Patrick Mahomes. It's entirely too much time for a guy like that. But the Steelers are the undefeated team. And here we see at DraftKings, the Chiefs at 9-1 are plus 140. The Steelers at 10-0 are plus 250. Everybody else in the AFC. And this, by the way, this doesn't matter how you finish in the regular season. Mm-hmm. This is how you finish at the end of
just get to the tournament.
Just get to the tournament and win and get to the Super Bowl. So this is who gets to the Super Bowl. Everybody else is double digits from the AFC. Would you have expected this big of a drop off in the betting market from those top two?
Well, I think after the, I'd have said yes last week. I say no now after the Ravens performance, because I think the Ravens would have still probably been
other way around. Four-ish. You would have said no last week, but you said yes.
So four-ish, you know, probably something like that. If the Ravens hadn't laid an egg, but, at 10-1, I mean, it's hard to argue with those odds, though, because when you look at the Chiefs and the Steelers and what they bring to the table every single week, it's very difficult to get your brain to a place where one of those two teams doesn't come out of the AFC.
Well, let me ask it a different way. And we do our top 10 rankings here on the show every week. What day do we do that, Kelly?
Tuesday. Coming at you tomorrow.
We also do Teaser Tuesdays on Tuesday.
We got a lot on Tuesdays.
But let me just ask you this way. There's a team that I've had in my top 10 the weeks that we've done this that you guys have not necessarily had in your top 10. And I would argue that the only other team there that I can draw a straight line to winning the AFC would be the Tennessee Titans.
I knew where you were going with that.
Because that's the only team that on any given game can play in a way, maybe the Ravens too, but certainly the Titans have shown us that they can go up against the number one seed. They did against Baltimore last year. And if they play their game, and they also seem to not get bothered at all if they're down, they're like, nope, we're going to Derrick Henry you to death no matter how this is going. Maybe that's a Ravens thing. Maybe the Chiefs and Steelers outcome would be different. But I almost think against the Chiefs, they would hold the ball so long that they'd have a chance too. That's the one team for me.
I'm with you as far as I think the only other two you could look at there probably are Ravens and Titans. I think even Ravens you could make an argument for, but I think with Ravens and Titans, they can both put it together like that. If the thing is with the Ravens, we haven't seen that now in about a month and a half or whatever it's been. The Titans, and at least you see spurts of it still. We saw it yesterday. It's hard for me to imagine, though, it's going to be anybody else but the Chiefs or the Steelers. And I think it's almost silly when we sit here and say they're 10-0. They're the first 10-0 team since, 2015 or something it is now, or even longer.
First time them in their storied franchise history.
And they're plus 250 just to win the conference. It's kind of silly. I wouldn't bet it, though, still. I think the Chiefs are still going to be too tough to get by.
I agree.
Yeah.
Matt, any team besides those top two, if you were forced to make a bet, who would you make?
I think the Colts are pesky.
Really?
They're going to always be around. They're just pesky.
That third quarter yesterday, right?
They're just pesky. Like, they're that team that is going to be there come the fourth quarter, and then you're going to look up and what happened the other day. Like, they somehow figure out a way to tie the game, and then they went on a field goal in overtime or something like that.
I mean,
like,
I think it's, you know, you've brought up already tonight, Matt. I think it's just, you know, we could count in this year's NFL, you could count on one hand how many good NFL or NFL defenses there are in the league this year, and you could count on even, you know, less fingers how many teams have a good defense and are solid in the trenches, both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. And I think that's what the Colts have, and I think you're right. Because of that, they're going to be able to stay in most games.
The thing about Phillip Rivers, yeah, I mean, as immobile as he is and all that, like, he's been pretty efficient with the ball so far this year. And I think, like, we were talking about this, did we say it off air? No, we said it right as we were going to break. The, you know, hit 11 different receivers yesterday, and nobody with more than four catches. Like, he's also kind of one of those guys. Look, he's been in the league 20 years. He doesn't care. Like, if you're the open guy, you're getting the ball. We talked about the performance of T.Y. Hilton this year and how it has fallen off a cliff, and it's probably because in years past, well, one, Andrew Luck has a much stronger arm and can push the ball down the field, but two, there was probably some forcing of the ball to T.Y. Hilton, and, you know, 11 different guys catch a ball yesterday, and the Colts get another win. They're 7-3. You know, it's kind of hard, and remember that one of those losses in that first game of the year, you're welcome, it eliminates half the survivor field.
Yes.
But you know, to the Jags, and so past that, it was a weird Browns loss, and then a loss to the Ravens, which I don't think anybody is going to kind of turn their
minds. My only point with the Colts, again, even in their doubling up win against the Titans on the Thursday night, even yesterday against the Packers, it's their lack of sneaks, which, again, people say, oh, you're making a big deal about sneaks. I am, because it's going to come up in the playoffs where the defense doesn't have to prepare for Phillip Rivers doing that. And they know now if Jacoby Brissett is coming in, that's what's going to happen. And two, and by the way, those are high leverage moments. Those are big. Those, you should not minimize those. And then the other day, yesterday rather, against the Packers, all of those penalties between the 217 mark and the 125 mark left in regulation to give the Packers a chance. The Colts just have to clean stuff up in so many little nuanced areas that I cannot trust them. By the way, Rams 3-and-out. And let me just say this before we go to break, because I just got a text from my buddy, and he is not listening to this show. And you know what I've been harping on here the whole morning. And he just texted me, or the whole night, rather. He just texted me, game-changing PI call was 3-and-out, punting down 7-0, phantom awful PI. That was his take. We did not chat. As you know, this is what I've been saying since it happened. That flag thrown on Jalen Ramsey, and I know you guys have been saying, well, they call it every time. That, to me, is perhaps, we'll look back on this game tonight, and no one will mention it if the Bucks win this game, but if that doesn't happen, maybe we see an entirely different football game. There's so many games that tilt on that kind of thing.
What was the game? God, all these games are mixing together now. What was the game yesterday where there was there was a pass interference in the end zone, but before that, there was an intentional grounding that wasn't called, and I was going nuts about it. Was it Packers Colts? Can't remember. Have to look it up.
Guys,
not ringing a bell with you,
like,
too.
Kelly's like, I'm throwing a tantrum, and I can't give you the. I can't tell you where.
First down, some guy in the orange, just, or whatever it was last week.
You know, the few things that set me off on here, the flags on the kicks, the first downs, and you guys always go with the uncatchable ball.
Yeah.
Intentional grounding when there's nobody around drives me insane why they don't throw a flag.
Yeah.
For the people that were two screening this, if you saw that Mike Evans catch, 3.7% chance of scoring a touchdown when he caught the ball, according to Next Gen
It was
stats.
Like the A.J. Brown one yesterday for the Titans. A.J. Brown, like, carried the entire defense into the end zone for the Titans late in that game. 7-7, Rams and Bucks. Bucks getting the ball back with 12:01 left in the first half. We're coming back with you for another hour right here on Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings.